It is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It is time for Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio. Jim joins us on a Tuesday morning. Jim has just a myriad of experiences with Wall Street, the economy, politics, many years of experience for those subjects and more, and we always enjoy talking to him. Good morning, Mr. Lynch.
And good morning to you, sir. How are you doing?
I am doing okay today.
Okay.
Surviving.
I hear you.
Yep. So
every day you take it in stride.
Yep. One step forward and sometimes a mini step back.
Just a little mini.
But you keep going forward. I do have a question for you because it's something that I see a lot, I read a lot, and I don't understand a lot. And that is exchange rates, and especially now locally for us, the euro and the U.S. dollar, for the first time in 20 years, are at parity. And what does that mean that they're at parity for the first time? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, for the Brits, it's a bad thing because it means there's a lack of confidence in the country. Born of, actually, the confidence was declining for the last several years, but it really, it's at its height now with Boris Johnson having to resign and having wasted actually a lot of time. But secondly, in terms of Britain, what's coming into focus now in terms of the world order, so to speak, Brexit was a separation. Somewhat of a separation from Europe, and in a way saying, well, we're independent of the world, you know, we can go it on our own, whereas countries as large as Britain have always had to have allies, etc. So that's why at this moment in time, I believe the confidence has gone to an all-time I don't know that far back, but to a significant low, as you mentioned. But it's really indicative of what's going on in the world right now. Some days it seems like it's coming apart, and some days it seems like we're coming apart. And that does not bode well for the confidence generally, and then specifically, it'll hit a country like Britain. The dollar being very strong is also indicative of the fact that people have been getting out of risk assets and into assets that, like the dollar, are very stable. And when you get involved in the dollar and you buy government bonds, you get less yield, but you get more safety. The word you used was myriad earlier. Honestly, that's the word I had about 10, 15 minutes ago, because that is what is going on. We have, I don't want to complicate this by saying too much, but first of all, we have an inflation that was caused, rightly so, by the federal government spending a lot of money during the pandemic. Support people in the lower income bracket so that they wouldn't go into poverty and with it cause a depression. So we got past that one, and then we decided to engage with Russia in Ukraine, but in a different way than normal. We're not fighting them per se with our men and women and a direct contact with our Air Force. Rather, we have decided to do sanctions on their most valuable exports, in this case, oil. So it's wonderful, not wonderful, but they are suffering. Their revenues are suffering to a degree from what we've done there because Europe has basically cut back on buying oil and gas from them, or buying them in limited amounts. The net result, though, is that it creates a shortage. Russia is one of the biggest exporters of oil. It creates a shortage throughout the world, and obviously in this country as well, since we have such large users of gasoline and oil. The net result is the price of gas has moved up, and corporations have taken advantage and gouged a little bit. But actually, the demand is just there, and it's pushing the price up. And in turn, the people, the general populace, is feeling it in terms of increased spending. The increased spending also goes to corporations that now must pay more for their fuel. And finally, in terms of the sanction situation, we have been sanctioning a lot of different people, and in the process, China, for instance, in certain areas, we are clogging up the supply chain rather than clogging it up. We've allowed only a minimal amount of stuff to get through on a timely basis. That's the key. If you don't ship your grain and get paid, we'll say in a week, and you got to wait 2 weeks or whatever, you raise the price. That's an oversimplification. It's the same way with beef. It's the same way with many different products. So there we now have an inflation, which is negative long-term, short-term, depending on how significant it is. And with it, uncertainty. What's it going to cost me to live this week or this month or this year? And finally, getting to the securities markets, there are so many different things going on that people who have had profits and have been taking them have been wise. Others who haven't taken them yet are probably beginning to take them and or take losses. So we now have a negative impact coming from the stock market. And finally, there's actually more than this, but our final note is the Federal Reserve has said they are going to raise short-term interest rates significantly. Now, the test will come, I guess, this coming week or so, in that will they live up to that and go a half or three-quarters of the short end? Will they kind of slow down because things are getting rather ugly in terms of economies and so forth? You don't know, but the market discounts. The market doesn't bother with you don't know. It takes action. And so, therefore, the stock market has been succumbing to people getting out with profits, getting out with losses, and basically saying, where in the name of God are we going to be in this country with all of this violence going on? What does that mean for... this is really... I hate to say it. Business gets really hit by this. In a way, who cares about business and lives are being sacrificed? But the point is, this is an uncertainty that people have tried to live with through the pandemic, and now they're having to try to live through it with inflation and finally a higher interest rate. This could all conclude if indeed the Russians said, okay, fine, we give up. Stop buying our oil again. That's part one. Part two, if the Fed said, okay, all right, the inflation's not that bad, we're going to slow down the short-term rate increases. Is that likely to happen soon? Absolutely not. Therefore, as investors, you should be in cash or in two-year U.S. Treasury.
Now, what I don't understand, I'm reading these stories about the U.S. dollar and the currencies, the exchange currencies between England. Do they still use the euro? So does this mean that the exchange rate is the same with the whole European Union or just with the United Kingdom?
Just with the United Kingdom, and that's their problem now. They wanted to be independent, and they're independent. Now, I don't know if the international monetary fund will help them out if they get into difficulty. I'm certain they will, because they pay a lot of dues, so to speak. But right now, it's primarily Britain. I don't know, it's so long ago, but it's not that long ago. If you remember Brexit, when they were trying to get Brexit done, the tremendous confusion in terms of should we, shouldn't we, will it help, will it hurt, whatever. Well, they finally got it done, and then all of a sudden the need for international cooperation came, and they were pulled back in to a certain amount of supplying military aid to Ukraine. So the French and the Germans, particularly the Germans, have their act together. But they work in concert. Boris Yeltsin, well, not Yeltsin, Johnson, has been a, I don't know, he's been bad news for the Brits. Does that answer your question? I'm sorry.
It does answer my question, though, because it's just one of those things where you look at what's, people in this country and the media, I'm going to say a lot of the media in this country, tend to look at our financial situation separately and talk about the administration. And this happened obviously also when Donald Trump was president. When it doesn't matter who's president, we kind of isolate ourselves when we talk about the finances and what's going on with the economy. But in today's world, because this is the way leaders 20 years ago started to set it up, 20 and 30 years ago, the global economy, there is no separation to me, it appears. Maybe I'm wrong. There is no separation anymore as to what happens to countries in this global economy. It's all for one and one for all. Everybody seems to be in the same pot. Is that true?
Not exactly. Shall we say, the fully developed countries probably fall in that situation. But then you have Sri Lanka and other African countries that are going through tremendous problems, some of it borne by corrupt politicians, which are easily done more in Africa and in, we'll say, Mexico than in the developed world. But no, in terms of what we can, what we in the USA can focus on, yeah, we are in the same pot with countless countries, which is why we have the International Monetary Fund. The Europeans have their outlet in terms of helping various countries when they get into trouble. But the IMF is very, very key to the pot that you're talking about. But we can't stress it too much if our policies are incorrect. And right now, in fairness to everybody, administration included, which side is up, which side is down? It's a very, very difficult world right now. And that's not an answer to solving it. I have no answer to solving it. I'd say peace. Isn't it funny? Peace probably is the answer to our monetary and economic problems. And certainly if peace will enable us to stop spending so much money in trying to defend ourselves internally and externally. So how soon is that coming? I don't know that that will come again. I hate to be a little sarcastic, but I think I mean to be sarcastic. You know, something's happened to this country, a country which we all know in various ways. Somehow the thing broke down 30, 40 years ago in the education system, and we forgot, we stopped generally teaching our young people about the country, how it runs, how important it is, and the history of the country. The fact that we didn't just inherit the land, we took this land. We killed Indians. We hunted them down. We murdered them. We slaughtered them. And the net result was we conquered what was their land, and we developed this land. And we did a very good job in developing it. But if students understood how we started, they would begin to appreciate how important it is to be very careful in their dealings with fellow human beings in terms of being honest, fair, nonviolent, listening to what they have to say, and sharing your opinions in a way that will work for everybody involved in the conversation. But again, like this critical race theory thing that we're looking at, courtesy of the white supremacists. Someone pointed out to me just yesterday, most of the people who are white supremacists, the power boys or whatever they are, they come from states where the white population is declining, okay? More violence from people in states where the white population is declining. You don't need to spend paragraphs on figuring out what is wrong in this country. But what was it that ignited this last flurry? It was Donald Trump with his violent, violent, autocratic, fascist speech. I can remember him giving a speech on Long Island. He was the president. He was the president, mind you. Now he's the president, the top guy. And he comes out of this meeting surrounded by these Long Island policemen, and he basically says, hey, you know, the next time you arrest these guys, you know, don't help them push their head down from the roof. Now, what kind of comment is that from the president of the United States? Well, he's been making those kind of comments for 4 years. Nobody has really, really done a job in bringing that out in terms of what was going on. Part of it is the Republicans will not own up to this terrible, terrible, evil person that has been existing as the president of the United States. And I don't know any word other than evil that aptly describes it. We can put all kinds of psychological things on it. Oh, his father did this to him, or his mother did that to him, or, oh, you know, he's stupid, or he's this, or he's that. He's violent, he's mean, he's hateful. And that attitude has been transferred to those who are willing to be open to listen to it and accept it. And it's mainly from a lot of these white supremacists, many of them younger, many of them in their 30 to 40 area. And, of course, you've got some oldsters there as well. Now, this thing must be solved, okay? If we don't solve this, you can kiss the stock market goodbye, because people are going to begin to say, we don't need it here. We'll send the money to Germany. We'll invest in Germany. This, again, this is just talk that I'm giving you now. It's not a projection, but it's one man's opinion on what is going on in this country. I've lived in it a long, long time, thank God, and I've seen it from many different perspectives, from the military to business, the private business, the traveling. And it really hurt my feelings at first when I went as a young person to France. And basically, the French had a way of snubbing you if you didn't speak their language, which is not like a lot of other countries. And the reason is because we had been creating this brazenness, this lack of gentility. And, you know, people don't like to deal with that. Well, it's known far worse than a lack of manners. And President Biden, God bless him, keep him well. He's got a lot on his plate. I frankly think he could do a better job in managing the plate, in getting his aides, including his vice president, involved, and stop going to these meetings that are not really the prime concern for the country. And stop going on television when you don't have something substantial to say. That's why you have PR people. Several of these PR people have resigned, really great ones. Obviously, is total confusion on what is the message.
All right. Well, guess what? The message is we're out of time.
So I guess you think you're giving me a message.
You answered some of my questions. I appreciate it, Jim. Okay, we'll speak to you next week.
I appreciate it. God bless
you. Take care. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.